City Sports Fight Night.
Good evening and welcome to Fight Night with me, Nick Pete, Liverpool Echo's boxing correspondent. You're listening to City Talk 105.9. An hour of pure boxing coming at you now. Loads to talk about as usual this week. Loads of news, especially outside the ring. We've got Joe Calzaghe's split from Frank Warren this week. We'll try and have a little chat about that a bit later. That's going to get messy. That'll end up in the courtroom, not for the first time. Also, Ricky Hatton has split from Billy Graham. Big surprise there. We'll try and get our guests' opinions on that one a little bit later on. Plenty of news as well locally, especially title fight news. Mark Moran, the city's British super bantamweight champion, had some news this week. He's got his first defence coming up end of September, start of October, and he's got a bad opponent as well, a former British Commonwealth and European champion lined up for him. That's going to be a tough night for Mark Moran. We'll have a little bit about, little chat about that. We've also got Paul Smith hanging on the line. We'll have a chat with Paul soon. He's had a date set for his return with English middleweight champion Steve Bendel. As we know, we spoke about this fight a few weeks ago. Paul was absolutely robbed down there in Birmingham. Thankfully, he's got the return with Bendel. It's going to happen straight away. It's in the Manchester Zemian Arena in September. That fight's going to happen. We'll talk about that pretty soon. In the studio with me tonight, I'm proud to say, my old mate Tony Dodson, former British and English super middleweight champion. Evening, Tony.
Evening.
Tony's going to fill us in on his last couple of weeks. He's changed promoters. He's been here, there and everywhere. He's been to a training camp. We're going to catch up with Tony and find
another
out.
Another day in the life of the warrior.
Well, that's it, mate. If only we could all live your life, mate. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And we've also got two girls with me in the studio, Anastasia Cousins and Natasha Jonas. Evening, girls.
Hi,
both building up towards next week's European Champions. European Championships coming to Liverpool next week. It starts on Monday, runs through to Saturday. I've got to be honest, I think the media coverage so far has been crap. You know, we're talking about a major international tournament and it's happening in Liverpool next week. Hopefully we can really kick that up tonight, kick it up a notch, have a good chat with the girls, find out what's going on. We've got three girls involved actually next week. Lydia Morgan from Heighton also boxing there. So we'll get stuck into that a little bit later, maybe in second part. And if that wasn't enough, we've also got an exclusive interview with George Schofield. George, as we know, is not only Tony's trainer, but also trainer of Gijard Ajetovic. Now, Gijard last week lost again. It was his second defeat inside a month. And it's starting to unravel for Gijard, unfortunately. Just a month ago, 6 weeks ago, we're talking about a kid who was a genuine world title contender. Now he's had two defeats on the bounce. And we catch up with George, find out where Gijard's going to go from here. But let's get this party going. Let's catch up with Tony. And I know he's been away. You've now linked up with David Hay, Tony, and you've been abroad.
Yeah. Straight after the fight in Milan, you know, I had the win. I weren't too happy with the way I performed. But, you know, that's boxing. You can't always go into the office and be brilliant. But as soon as the fight was over, I got a phone call off Adam Booth, who's David's manager and trainer. And David rung me straight after him just to say congratulations. You know, don't look in too much to the fight. You know, it was what it was. You haven't been in the ring for 10 months. You know, people have got to understand when you haven't boxed for nearly 12 months, it's going to have an effect on your performance. And, you know, I went over there to get six good rounds out. And, you know, if the knockout would have come out, I'd have been happy. But, you know, I got six good rounds that I needed more than anything, and I was happy with it. So as soon as I got back into the changing rooms, I received a phone call, you know, congratulations and that. And basically, forget about it now. Within seconds of getting my hand raised, it was forget about it, let's look to the future.
Well, that was, you know, so that was your first fight in what, 10 months, I think
ten
it
months.
Was. You took on Sarri over
months.
In Milan. So, you know, it's just a case of shaking the cobwebs off.
Yeah, believe me, there was a lot of cobwebs there to shake off. It was just like everything was forced. It was, you know, when you're chasing a fight, it makes things harder. It makes you make more mistakes when you're trying to rush things and trying to, you know, make things happen. It does, you tend to make a lot more mistakes doing that, but you know, like I said, I got six good rounds out, and I'm happy with it.
And you've come back, obviously, you spoke to David, they're happy as well. But you've been away with David, you've been over to his base in Cyprus.
As I say, when I got out of the ring, they rung me and said, you know, have a couple of days off, but then I want you to fly over here to Cyprus, you know, for the training camp with the Haymaker team. I was there with nine other fighters. I was privileged to be there with Ryan Rhodes, who I, you know, sort of was starstruck by, to be honest. As a kid growing up, 13, 14 years of age, Ryan was knocking everybody out, British champion, youngest ever.
He was the Spice Boy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was the original Spice Boy, you know what I mean? He was a good, talented kid, and to be perfectly honest, he's never lost the talent. He's always had the talent. I think after he got beat by Otis Grant, he sort of got the back burner with the Warren situation. And, you know, a lot of his fights weren't televised. A lot of people probably don't know. He's had 43 pro fights now. You know, a lot of them haven't been televised over the last 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. But in his last fight against Gary Walker, he ripped the British title. You know, what Jamie Moore vacated, and he looked really good doing it. So he's been signed up to Haymaker. We've signed up another, I think 15 fighters altogether that we've signed up. We'll talk about a little bit more.
I like the way you're saying we already as well. You obviously feel part of a team there.
That was the whole, you know, the aim, to get us all together in Cyprus. We'd done 10 days of not intense training. It was hard, but to the point where, you know, a week before the fight, it's not as intense. You know, they were basically giving us fitness tests to see where we were at, so that we could, you know, assess us and know what to do next time we get over there. It was like about gelling. We gel with the team. All of us got on. We had some real characters, like a young lad called Michael Maguire, who actually reminds me of Roberto Girano, where he fights. So he's going to be an exciting fighter to watch. And we all gelled. We all had a good time. You know, we trained. We got to know each other. And we're all looking forward to, like, the prospects of what David's actually going to do with us. And when I say, you know, we as a team, it's like, because I'm good mates with David anyway, feels like I am part of his team. And they make you feel that way about it. And that was the whole plan. I think hopefully everybody in the team feels like that.
Yeah. That sounds good, doesn't it, girls? A training base over in Cyprus, you fancy that?
Oh, yeah.
Nice bit of acclimatising over there. Imagine if you turned round to Marsh Lane, though, Alan, and said, can you sort me flights out over to Cyprus? And I'm going to go and train with David, eh?
You'd be like, oh, as long as we can come as well.
I think it's the hardest part about it, Nick, was getting used to the heat. I mean, it was 43 degrees just day to day. I mean, we landed at 5 in the morning. It was 29 degrees.
Yeah,
at 5 o'clock in the morning. No, but listen, this is where your heart should bleed for me. Our gym, inside the gym, is like a £1 million gym. It's got the best of everything in it. But to look at the gym from the outside, it's a tin shack. So now you can imagine the heat inside the gym when we've got no air conditioning. Yeah. So really, it was the first day I got there, I don't know, I think 3 or 4 rounds of shadow, a little bit of skip. I really felt like I was going to get carried out of there. It was that bad. I actually got my weight down to like 12 stone 6, which for me is a dream. You know, I'm a big lad. I walk around 13 stone plus.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was doing that without really having to train really, really hard. You know, it was good.
Good experience, yeah. So is that something that all Haymaker team are going to do now, going to train over there ahead of title fights? And is that opportunity going to come again?
I don't think that it's going to be a thing where we go out there for months on end or weeks on end. I think it's going to be like a couple of weeks before the fight, we have a week with them to assess our fitness, to make sure we're doing everything right. Because one of the terms in the contract is actually that we have to be part of fitness tests, endurance tests, all that sort of thing, because they want to know, you know, what condition you're in, because basically they're investing their money. They want to know what they're investing their money into, and you can't blame them for that, you know. And it seems to me like they've got the right blend. They've got the right blend to make everybody happy. You know, we're all professional sportsmen. We should live the good life. We should, you know, live the way professional sportsmen do.
So have you got a date set yet with Hay? Have you got a date set down when your first fight's going to be?
We've got 2 fights set already. Mm-hmm. The plan is 20th of September. The first Haymaker show live on Satanta in Sheffield on the Ryan Road undercard. One of the things that I'm really happy about them doing is they're going to go into the undercard of the fight as well. They're going to basically give everybody on the undercard the same exposure as the main top of the bill. Going back to UFC, what you cover, as you see when you go to the UFC fights, all of the fighters on the card get the same exposure.
Yeah.
And I think Satanta are realising the success with UFC. And they're realising that they have to start giving the undercards a little bit more exposure so that the sport grows. Do you get me? So if everyone knows about the undercard, they're going to know what's coming next.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can start getting behind the lads and start doing things like that. So, yeah, that's going to be September 20th. I think there's going to be like 9 undercard fights plus Ryan Rhodes, top of the bill. There's going to be an abundance of talent on there. I've trained with 90% of the lads that are on it.
Yeah.
And a really, really, really talented kids. I mean, sitting in the gym every day, I was watching a kid called Josh Whale and Martin Lindsay. It was the IBF youth champion, Martin Lindsay. And, I thought, you know, we're all friends, feel each other out when we're sparring and all that. These two kids went at it. This Josh Whale threw 280 punches in one round in his last fight. So you can imagine what that spar went like.
Yeah, exactly.
This was 8 rounds of standing there. And I was saying to Adam, you know, Ad, come on, let's, you know, get them to not take it easy, but, you know, we're sparring, we're learning. Yeah. And he was like, no, leave them to it. It's good to watch. So it was good. He said, no, it's the first time we sparred. Let them feel each other out. Come on, we'll see what they're made of. So fair enough. First time. And I like to think that it's not going to be like that every time, though, because, you know, 90% of the damages that happen to fighters is in sparring. So,
of course, yeah.
You know.
Well, I can tell by the colour in your cheeks, you're obviously enjoying it. Anyway, you're happy with the Haymaker team. And,
yeah.
And I think we're all looking forward to that show on the 20th of September. Now, you know, it's going to be David's first show. Upwards and onwards, early from there.
Yeah, it is. It's, they've also said to me the 16th of November, David's going to be taking part in his first top 10 ranked heavyweight fight. He's going to be fighting someone ranked in the top 10.
Brilliant.
The whispers, David hasn't said nothing to me, because even though we're close friends, he doesn't give nothing away, because he's, you know, he likes to give Satanta the exclusives, whatever. But the word I'm getting is they've approached James Toney, and what a fight that'd be. And for me to be on the undercard of that, you know, fantastic. But another bonus to it as well is, we're trying to get Brian McGee to the... obviously, Frock's got to vacate the British title.
Yeah.
Then I want Brian McGee November 16th, O2 Arena for the British title. So, you know, I'm ranked number 3, he's ranked number 2. Why not? Let's get it on.
It seems like David Haye's got the pulling power to make that kind of fight happen as well.
Listen, money makes the world go round. Money makes fights happen. And luckily for David, he's the number one man at the minute. He's got the back of the Satanta. He's getting probably... don't quote me, millions of pounds getting put into him, you know, and rightly so. He's providing the goods, he's talking the talk, and he's walking the walk, so...
Are you girls, obviously, David Haye, in my opinion, is like the biggest thing in boxing right now. He's dominated the cruiserweight scene. He's about to go up to heavyweight. A fight with James Toney, that's perfect, isn't it? It's what we want to see. Yeah. We've not had a decent heavyweight, I'm sure you'll agree, since Lennox Lewis, have we, really?
No, there's been no one about, really. I can't...
We had Audley, obviously, you know, Olympic medal aside, he became a bit of a fraud.
The great fight we seen last week with our great British champion, Danny Williams. if that's anything to go by, you know, we're in a shambles at the minute. But, you know, David is, like you say, he's the man at the minute, you know, and hopefully he'll bring back another world title for a British fighter.
Well, the thing about David Haye, and you touched on it there, the possibility of getting that fight with James Toney and happening in Britain as well. James Toney is a name known around the world as one of the top heavyweights, but reading between the lines here, it would be perfect because James Toney's a blown-up cruiserweight as well.
Not only that, but you've seen the way he's been in press conferences. It's going to add some entertainment. He's going to entertain. People are going to watch his trash talk. I mean, I watched something on YouTube the other day when he was sparring with Danny Green, the Australian kid. And I can tell you now, if someone would have been saying the things he was saying in sparring to me, they'd have been trouble after the sparring, because he's really, really foul-mouthed, and he doesn't hold no punches in the ring or out the ring. So you can imagine there's going to be fireworks at the press conference, which, you know, it all makes it a good fight.
And just to add a little bit of extra spice for local fans, that bill on September the 6th, is John Watson will be on the bill as well, the lightweight from Heighton, signed with David Haye.
One of our exciting lightweights.
I love the way you keep saying one of our. You really are integrated into this Haymaker team already.
He's part of the team now, and I can guarantee you when we go away, he'll get the same feeling when we train together. He'll get the same feeling at the camp, because that's exactly what I felt within 2 or 3 days of being part of the team. You know, John's one of the most exciting kids we've got. He's doing everything asked of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's you know, without a doubt, he's really talented. So to add another talented man to the team is great for me, because if we get the Liverpool Echo Arena for me for the British title fight, or even possibly, you know, European title, I'm not going to get too carried away, because I know how good they are and I know how good they can be, but, you know, that's all things I've got to stop talking and do it in the ring. So, you know, John's hopefully going to add a little bit more spice to the undercard.
We touched on it last week. John Watson's got this big rivalry kind of that we tried to blow it out of all proportion, I'll be honest, last week. North versus South, John Watson one corner, Steve Burke in the other.
It's kind of like Neri and
Oligan, that's what we want. You know, we were talking about it last week. Derry was in the studio and everything. We're getting excited about the possibility of that happening, but unfortunately, that doesn't look like that's going to happen
Won't happen. And you know, it's a shame. It should happen, because they're two good fighters, but at the same time, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if one of the other lost, because, you know, they're both great fighters, and I'd hate to be sat ringside, to be honest, for that fight, because I'm good friends with Stephen and John's a good mate. So, you know, I'd stay in the office, I think, and bury me head and just watch it on the telly or something.
I don't think we're going to see that fight anytime soon, but I think that could be one for the future.
Yeah,
anyway,
it could be. Maybe when he's a little bit more on the table, because the kids with that much talent, why not let them fight for titles? They're good enough to. So why not give them, you know, the opportunity to prove themselves? And in a fight like that, with such good talent in both corners, you know, you can guarantee there's going to be fireworks, as there was with Neri and Holligan.
Of course. Dark in the park. Okay, I think that's all we've got time for in the first round there. We've got Paul Smith on the line, so we'll get straight into Paul in round two. We've also got the two girls sitting next to me as well, Natasha and Anastasia. We're going to rap to them about the European Championships, which kicks off in Liverpool on Monday night. I'm Nick Pete, this is Fight Night, and you're listening to City Talk 105.9.
City Sport Fight Night. City Talk 105.9.
City
Surgery.
Every Friday at 12, our financial expert Ian Howarth from Parker Kelly Financial Services will be live in the studio to answer all your financial questions. So if you need advice on anything from mortgages and pensions to credit card debt, give our expert a call on 0151 708 1059 or email us surgery@citytalk.fm. For free expert advice, listen to the City Surgery. Weekdays at 12. We're here to help.
City Talk 105.9.
The Taskers Blue Ticket Summer Sale ends this Monday, August 25th.
Taskers, Long Lane Aintree and Wavertree Road, Liverpool.
If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front Scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 7755 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
You know, I love Buffet Star. Delicious, mouth-watering, scrumptious, piping hot, healthy Chinese and Thai food. Eat as much as you like for under 6 quid. And talking of squid, don't you just love it pan-fried with lashings of salt and chilli?
Mm-hmm. Buffet Star. 60 delicious Thai and Chinese dishes to choose from for less than 6 quid. Buffet Star. Hanover Street, Liverpool. Just round the corner from Central Station.
This is Love Liverpool Week with Pete Price. City Talk. 105.9.
Tonight is the conclusion of our Love Liverpool Week, and we're asking you a simple question. You're our guest. What do you love about Liverpool? Is it the football? Is it the music? Is it the culture? What is it? And by the way, would you like to be Lord Mayor for a day? Listen in tonight and you'll find out. We loved Liverpool. We want to know why you love Liverpool. Tonight, the last one of the week.
Love Liverpool Week with Pete Price.
City Talk 105.9.
City Sport Fight Night. City Talk 105.9.
Hello, welcome back to Fight Night with me, Nick Pete. This is round two. Unfortunately, we couldn't get him into round one because, you know, Tony Dodson's like once he started yapping. But we've got Paul Smith on the line here. We've had confirmation this week that he's got this return fight with Steve Bendel all set, MEN Arena, September the 6th. Paul, you must be over the moon.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it, Nick. I've wanted this since I got up to it. I've known for a while, so I've been training all the time, so I haven't nearly stopped training. Knowing that it was coming, and I don't want to sound like a bad loser, but everyone that was there on the night knows I didn't lose the fight, so it's just one of them things where I've got to just get rid of a little blemish off my record.
Have you watched the fight much back since?
I haven't watched it once, and I don't want to watch it. No, I don't need to watch it, but and I know what I did on the night. I know I was coming back at the end of every round, sitting down, thinking, well, I got that round. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, setting the light with my performance, but I was winning the rounds, and that's all that really matters when you're in a title fight, you know, and it's only a 10-round title fight, but it's still a title. And if you're winning the rounds and you're the champion, then that should be enough, but it's just one idiot referee who's gone the fight, you got no chance.
Looking at the fight itself, obviously I was ringside and everything, and I gave Bendel 2 rounds out of the 10, more out of courtesy than anything else, the fact that he was still in the ring after taking so much punishment for the first 8 rounds. But when the referee held his hand up at the end there, you know, it looked like his reaction said everything, really. He jumped around like he'd won the lottery, yeah. and it completely silenced an arena that had 10,000 people in it.
Yep, and you see, you know, the idiots on the internet site saying Smith didn't protest. What's the point of protesting to a referee? You don't even look like an idiot, you know what I mean? You don't even look like a bad loser. You don't even look stupid protesting to a referee when it's not going to do anything. It's not going to change the decision. I just, you know, what are you going to do? Call them names and all that. There's nothing you can do. You've got to just take it on the chin and walk out. I'm good enough taking the wins, so I've got to take the losses.
Is there any way, Paul, you're going to approach the fight the second time around? Anything you're going to change at all?
I'm just going to get back to basics. I'm trying, you know, I was trying too much, trying to box and trying to stand off, and I'm just going to, you know, go out and propose this fight and train for the fight and actually fight in the fight itself the way I was doing earlier on in my career, and just going forward and, you know, getting back to being exciting and not looking for the knockout, but getting the knockouts, because I've been trying to box too much, but still deep down looking for the knockout and throwing too many one big shots. When I know what I can do when I get fit enough and when I get my head down and train properly. So it will be different this time, and you know, there is the kick of the backside that I needed.
I think it's Tony Paul, by the way. Hello, mate.
All right, Tony.
I think you've done the right thing there. We're just saying, you know, I don't want to watch the video. I don't want to see. I know what I've done wrong. That's the right attitude to have towards a loss, and you know, you've
exactly
done the right thing.
I know I'm not soft. I've had like 24 fights now. There's not much more that I'm going to really learn apart from getting fight experience, you know, and that's the most important thing. I need to fight regularly now, and I know exactly what I did wrong with Steve Bengal, and I know that, you know, the only way he could ever beat me is by that freak decision and by that, you know, idiot referee.
He must have thought his Christmas and his birthday must have come all at once.
Because he got a decent payday. He got, you know, he got a win over an unbeaten prospect, which he, you know, he never had a chance in. And then he's obviously got the rematch, which is another payday for him. So he's, you know, he's made up. But it's probably going to be a downfall, because
I mean, I read on the internet all of the round for round sort of thing, and even the rounds that, like Nick said, he'd give him a couple of rounds, even them weren't really his rounds. From what I read about it, was like they were pretty close anyway.
What Derry was telling me
was like you more or less didn't lose a round. So you know, it's just one of them, like you said, an idiot referee that really, these sort of decisions like we've seen in the Danny Williams fight spoil the sport, and it's a shame, especially with someone who's, you know, with what you've done in your career, you've done excellent and you're a really big name. So
fight, that's when it messes things up, because
exactly,
it's his opinion only. I hit Bendel after the bell in the second round, and you know, it's a fight. I'm not necessarily a bad sportsman, but it's a fight. I'm not going to apologise.
Like
for
Ricky says, mate, it's not a tipping contest.
Exactly. I didn't mean the shot, but it had already gone, so I'm not going to apologise. I just smirked at him. You know, it's a fight, and the referee seen that and come and kicked off on me, and then from then on, I never got nothing. Every time he was old, and I was getting the blame. And the referee's words when he got out the ring was, he old manned them. You know, what kind of an excuse is that?
It's a joke. Sounds like your back was against the wall from the start, mate.
Yeah, I've said to a few people, whether it's a WBC title or an English title, it's still a title. You've got to take it from the champion. And, you know, there's no way he did that.
You'd have to rip the title away from people. That's the way it's always been. And you know,
close rounds, the champion normally shaded and get the benefit of the doubt, you know, and if there was any close rounds in the fight, which there might have been one or two, then they were obviously going the wrong way. I looked out the ring after the fight, and McGuigan said to me, you know, I gave it to you by 6 rounds, 8 rounds to 2.
And there's an experience with former world champion, you know.
Of course, there's not many people who can judge a fight like Colin Hart. He gave it to me by 7 rounds,
exactly.
And ITV had me by 5 rounds. I think it was Duke McKenzie.
So, you know, let's just hope you come back, and we all know you're good enough.
Well, I know there wasn't a single person on that press bench that thought that Steve Bendel won that fight or even came close to winning that fight. Which kind of says
it all. I watched Khan's fight, and all the reporters kept coming over to me, and you know, some that I don't even, you know, don't really speak to were coming over and saying, you know, that was a travesty, it was a joke. And Gary Newbon from ITV used to do ITV years ago turned around and said it was an absolute joke. You know, there's every single one of us here, not one person thought you lost the fight, and that's the way it is. And I know there's some people that'll be honest with me and come over and say, look, Paul, I thought you lost the fight, but you know, there hasn't been anyone that's come over and said it yet.
Paul, is there a part of you though that thinks, you know what, why am I going 10 rounds with the likes of Steve Bendel anyway? If I'm winning the first 8 rounds, let's get him out of there. Because the old Paul Smith...
I should have got him out of there, and why I didn't get him out of there is because I'm looking for it too much.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. People say, you know, you should have got him out of there, this and that. It's like when I boxed last week, I should have knocked that kid up, but it doesn't happen sometimes. And like Paul says, when you go looking for it, it sort of backfires on you. But, you know, like we
said, when you get in the ring and you know you're better than someone and you know you can beat them, and you know it, you're getting in the ring with not if you win, it's how you win. You know, that's the attitude that I've had in probably all 24 of my fights, and that one, all I was trying in the back of my mind to do was stop him before Sylvester stopped him, before Barker stopped him, before Elcock stopped him, which was 8-4 and 7. You know, exactly, it is a bit of pressure, but it's pressure that I put on myself. I should just be getting in thinking, right, just box well, do things right, do what you've learned in the gym, and you will knock him out. Whereas I'm getting in thinking, right, I've got to knock him out. And, you know, typical, like I did in the contender when I needed a knockout, it never comes.
Of course, you go looking for it. Well, this fight obviously is set up for September the 6th. You'll just be concentrating 100% on winning every round of a 10-rounder. As you say, it comes.
It's nice, and all I've been doing non-stop since the last fight is thinking about Steve Bendel and everything I'm doing in the gym is working towards that, towards the Southpaw style, and just, you know, pretty much just polishing up on what I did last time, but getting a lot faster work rate and getting my hands going.
One good thing about this, it'll make the win even sweeter. You know,
yeah, of course,
know,
and it's not, a, No, it's a horrible feeling. I always say to my missus, you know, every morning we've got like a weird sickly feeling in my stomach where I shouldn't have lost, but I have lost, and I've got a loss on my record, and I don't like it, you know, and I've got to change it.
Sometimes, Paul, that makes a fighter, though, mate. So try, yeah, well, like you're doing, you sound like you're taking the pluses out of it. So I really hope that, you know, you take the pluses and you go on from strength to strength and you learn from it. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I will.
This bill on September the 6th, Paul, it's turned into a bit of a rotunda show, hasn't it? You're Stephen, yeah, on it, Liam, Joe Selkirk, Tony Bellew.
Liam won't be on the bill now. He's got in. He can't get medical and licensed in time, so that's the first anyone's heard about it, but we all found out last week, and Liam found out. So
is he going to stay amateur for a bit more, Paul, or is he definitely turning over?
No, he hasn't signed his forms yet, but he's booked in to sign them, and he's got his meeting to get licensed on the 7th of September. That's the only licensing date available, which is the day after the show, unfortunately. So he's turning pro, he's ticking over, and he's having a few games of football to try and keep his eye in, and he'll be a great addition to the pros, as most people who've seen his style know.
Well,
the Addison's just been added to the bill today, hasn't he, to the MEM bill?
Oh, has he, yeah?
So he's fighting that Martin Rogan on the bill, so it's going to be a big show.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Amir Khan, top of the bill as well. And of course, you've got Nicky Cook, haven't you, who's fighting, Alex Arthur, is it?
Yeah, Alex Arthur defended against Nicky Cook. It's Khan and Arthur, the joint top of the bill, but Khan's opponent hasn't been announced yet. I think he's been too busy getting his trainer sorted out.
Thanks very much for joining us anyway, Paul. Good luck on September the 6th.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, mate.
Paul Smith there. I know, obviously, you're from the same gym. Natasha, the rotunda and stuff. And does everybody in the gym still look up to Paul and what he's achieving in the pro game?
Yeah, obviously, it's a lot of the young lads, that's what they want. It's where they want to be, so they're still looking up to them. He still pops in every now and again, so it's good to see him.
And this,
spar,
this show up in Manchester that they're all on, you know, obviously Stephen's on there, Joe Selkirk, Tony Bellew. That's like it's going to be a big day out for the Rotunda, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the last time everyone was on was in the Championship side, and I was boxing the same day, so I couldn't go, so I'm hopefully going to get myself down there.
Brilliant stuff. Well, before then, of course, both you girls are boxing next week at the European Championships coming to Liverpool. And I just can't stress, you know, I tried to do it at the start of the show, I just can't stress how big a tournament this is. And how ridiculous it is that it's, you know, it's not had that much exposure kind of thing. But I think that's the way women's boxing is worldwide at the moment. I'm sure you'll agree. It's getting there. We're getting bigger and bigger. This is only the third European Championships. Is that right?
Yeah.
But the fact that Liverpool's got it, you know, it's got to be a big plus for both you girls.
Looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, me too.
Crowd, everyone.
Me too. Everyone behind us.
It does add the little bit of better spice when you're at home and you've got all your family and friends. It makes you want to do that a little bit better.
Of course.
But yeah, it's a great thing, you know. Women boxing, the only third tournament, and we're getting in Liverpool, you know. That just shows that, you know, Liverpool's just getting stronger as a city.
Yeah. Well, that's it, you see, because the tournaments themselves, the good thing is we've got Paul King in, who's, as you know, is such a strong player for the ABA. So he's kind of sourcing everything back to Liverpool, and we are amateur boxing mecca as far as the UK is concerned anyway. But you're talking about 17 countries who are going to be in Liverpool all next week, more than 100 boxers. So tell us all about it. How are you going to win your gold medals? Of course, Anna, you're a lightweight.
Yeah.
So how many bouts do you think you're going to have next week? Are you expecting to have?
Probably, if I reach the finals, I'll probably end up having about 3 bouts, I think.
Yeah. And how long have you been involved with the England setup for now? Because obviously you're from Marsh Lane, as we said earlier. You won your second ABA title this year, is that right?
Yeah. It was more or less when I won my first ABA title. I'd been training beforehand with England, but I started like getting my foot on the ladder a little bit and getting more about getting selected for tournaments after I'd won my first ABA title.
And how do you think that's, you know, obviously you've got great opinion, both you guys, you're kind of there when the sport's really exploding in this country now. How has it changed since you got into the England squad 12 months, 18 months ago? How has it changed, you know, as far as England concerned?
Well, we get a lot more squads than that before we go away, because we didn't used to get, you know, we didn't used to get any at all. But, you know, there's a lot more squads and there's, a lot more training and all that, and
it's nutritionist, which is something that we've never had before.
Right.
So they're coming to the camps as well, and it's helping with your diet and stuff. Yeah. So
if you've got any injuries or anything, you know, there's someone on hands on the last camp that we went to that was watching over us and helping us with our stretching and all that. And
Brilliant. So it's basically you're getting the full package now, what the lads have been getting for the last few years. They're basically trying to professionalise the whole women's game as well now. That's exactly. So did you guys get much chance to go back to your old clubs anymore? Are you always on these camps or...?
No, we're still more or less in our own clubs. I mean, we've only had one camp before this tournament, one squad training camp, where we got a lot of sparring in and stuff, but we've basically trained with our clubs before this tournament. Like, it's our club coaches who have been behind us all the way, really.
So does that mean the majority of your sparring's been done at your clubs as well? Obviously, Tasha from the Rotunda, you've been sparring with the lads up there?
Yeah, it was Beefy.
with Liam, yeah?
No, it's not. It's with Liam. So it's been mostly Conker now, Paul Sullivan. So thanks to him.
Brilliant.
We train a lot together as well. Yeah. We're lucky to have two champions in the same city. Yeah. Not many people have that.
We've done it as a few good little spars over
together. Had some war scars.
Part and parcel of the sport, girls, get used to it. So we've got, as I say, 17 countries coming over next week. You know, it's going to be unbelievable. The whole event's getting staged at Green Bank Sports Centre, which is a fantastic facility. But why, Toe, haven't you put the finals on at St George's Hall next Saturday night?
I think it's a little bit of, I don't know whether it's the right way, but maybe a little bit of sexist, to be honest. You know, the girls should get what the lads get. They should, you know. Obviously it's growing and growing and growing. There's obviously a lot of people interested in it because all of these countries are coming to visit. So, you know, why not give them the backing? They should get the backing. They should get the same as all the other amateur lads get. And, you know, if we get behind them, maybe we'll start producing more champions, both sides, girl and boy. So, you know,
to be fair, they're saying it's growing in Britain, but it's been big everywhere else. Where us, Jamie and maybe one or two other countries are proper far behind. There's countries that I've never even heard of that have got their own kits. And
I think it was the same in you know, men's boxing as well. Years ago, we were so far behind all the foreign countries.
Yeah.
You used to go to all these European tournaments, and you'd look down the medal table, it was just dominated by Eastern Europeans.
Well, we didn't win any medals, did we? Let's be honest. We're lucky to get one bronze from a full squad just 20, 30 years ago.
Exactly.
So. And now we've got eight going to Beijing, and, you know, they're out there now. Yeah,
which is a great thing, you know. Hopefully, you know, next time we talk about the Olympics, hopefully we'll have a girl squad there as well.
Yeah, well, that's what they're talking about now, isn't it? They're talking about getting girls on trial at the London 2012.
I mean, I've seen some of these girls fight, and, you know, even myself, I think to myself, why can't I do that? Yeah. You know, they're really that good. They are. They,
course,
it's not like girls getting it. I think the first thing you think when girls have a fight, it's, well, not a fight, a contest, a boxing match, whatever you want to call it. You just think about girls clawing each other and being girls, but that's not the case. They're skilled and they're really, really good at what they do, you know. Maybe people should just get up and come down and just have a look for themselves, and it'll change the perspective of women's fighting. Might change it, you know, might get more people to it, and they'll appreciate how good they are.
So anybody who can get down here, as we said, it's at Green Bank from Monday through to Saturday next week. I'll give you some details for tickets in a second, but we talked about there's 17 nations involved. You said a lot of the nations hardly even heard of as far as men's boxing concerned, but in women's boxing, who traditionally are the strong nations in Europe then?
I think Russia have a lot of people in the finals.
Yeah, kind of like the men's game, yeah.
Sweden.
Sweden, yeah, because Swedish boxing, the men's side of things, isn't big at all, really. I don't think there is even a professional, you know, a professional area of Swedish boxing. I know they have an amateur team, but there's no pro game over there. So, but the Swedish women's team is famously one of the strongest, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've been boxing for like 20 odd years now. Yeah.
Some of them have had over 200 odd bouts, and we get in the ring.
I mean, when you think of what you're saying with over 200 bouts, I was an amateur from the age of 11. I only had 38, so that just shows how, you know, active it is in that country.
Yeah.
What a Canadian two-time world champion who's had 233, I think. And that was my 10th.
A little bit of a mismatch there.
But at this stage, is it a case of you've just got to sink or swim, basically? You've got to get in there and mix it up.
You look at them, you think, I'm not, considering you've had 200 bouts more than me, you're not that far, I'm not that far behind.
Yeah.
Give me a year or two and I'll be challenging you.
Yeah, well, that's great. It's great that she has, you know, that attitude towards it, because I know if I'd have had 10 fights and gone in with someone 230 fights, I'd have been pretty scared.
But isn't that a big advantage now, though, because you've got that in your locker now. You've fought a two-time world champion. Yeah. You've been abroad. You've both had contests on the continent now. You've got ABA titles. So when a tournament like this comes to your own backyard, girls, it's going to be, you know, suddenly everybody who's flying to Liverpool must be thinking, oh, no, Anastasia Cousins is in my door, or Natasha Janis, is there. They're going to have the local fans behind them.
Yeah,
it does add, I suppose, when you go away from home, like I know when past when I boxed away from home, it does add a little bit of pressure if you go into the guy's hometown, i.e. the frog fight.
Yeah.
I had 10,000 people screaming at me saying, who the hell are you? Not them words to be exact, like, but, you know, along them lines. And it does add the pressure. So you're right in what you're saying. You know, the away fighters will be thinking them same things. You know, but hopefully they can, you know, do the business.
Do the business. Well, hopefully we'll get a good crowd down there. You know, as I say, unfortunately, the publicity, in my opinion, hasn't been great for a tournament so big. You better believe when the men's Europeans come around in November, the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. But it's a fantastic opportunity, especially if you've not seen amateur boxing or women's boxing, for that matter. Get down to Green Bank Hall next week. There's rounds every night, Monday through to Thursday. It's the rest day on Friday and the live final on Saturday. Tickets are buttons as well. I think it's a £5 each night for adults, £2 concession. Which, come on, so for international boxing, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is value for money.
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. And even the finals night, £10 for adults, £5 for juniors and OAPs as
and
well.
And that's for the finals?
That's for the finals.
That's amazing.
You know, especially when you're going to see at least two local girls involved as well, aren't we, girls?
Yeah, we certainly are.
Only gold medal is good enough. Before we move on, actually, we've got an ad break coming up, but we better talk about the third girl, because there's another girl from Liverpool in the squad.
Yeah,
and then I forgot all about her, but Lydia Morgan, who's from Highton, a light heavyweight, is that right?
Yeah, 80 kilograms, she's boxing her. From here, St. Aloysius.
And did she win her first title this year, is that right?
Yes, she won a novice title, didn't she?
Yeah, novice ABAs.
June, yeah.
Right, okay. So she's probably had less than 10 fights then, is that right?
She had, I think she's only had five bouts. She's had three or four bouts. But with the girls that she's going in against, they're going to have a lot more experience, but I think she can handle herself.
Yeah. Is there a lot of girls weighed in at light heavyweight in their weight division? Is she going to have a lot of fights, or is it kind of like the men's game? The bigger you get, the less people weigh in.
Yeah, I think there's only four in the weight category. I think
she's got a medal,
so
already.
She's already got brilliant. A medal. Yeah.
So even though she's only had three fights, she's got nothing to lose, really.
She's got a bronze. She's got a European bronze medal, hasn't she?
Phenomenal.
Just get in and get out.
I know, yeah.
Both of you look a little bit envious there.
I know, yeah.
But with a name like a nickname is Lights Out, Lydia Lights Out Morgan, and sounds like she's got a puncher's chance anyway. So yeah.
It does. I mean, this thing with the weight people weighing, and I was stuck with the same thing when I was younger. I was a really big lad at a really young age, and I used to only have to fight three times to get to a final, the nationals, quarter, semis and final. Most of the time it was because the kids that were at that weight weighing experience, and I was good at the time. And I think maybe she's going to get
terrified,
the same
problem.
Yeah, they were. I was like,
including
the Grim Reaper.
We talked about him already. Remember David Hay pulled out
in 1997 or 96 NBC finals against me, yeah?
We should get that made into t-shirts for next time we go to Cyprus.
I've actually still got the programme of me and David, but, you know, I say it now and he sort of like pulls a little face at me as if to say, I'm sick of hearing about it, but he's got to understand that's my claim to fame. That's what it is. And also, you know, the year later, they smashed Enzo Macarinelli as well, you know, so these are all things that people don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, I've had all them good wins, and going back to that girl, I think she's going to be in the same situation where she's going to struggle for opponents, but, you know, as long as she's in the gym and she's learning.
Surely that's win-win, though, so you're going into the European Championships in your own backyard, in the semi-finals straight away. You can see why the ABA have said, OK, she's only a novice, she's only had three fights, but she's got nothing to lose.
Yeah. She's on the podium already.
Yeah,
exactly. And with a name like Lights Out, like you said, you know, it's only looking good.
Fantastic. Well, as I say, that is going to be some high-class international boxing next week down at the Green Bank in South Liverpool. It's just by Sefton Park. You can't miss it when you get down here. The facility is fantastic. Boxing four nights a week. Finals on Saturday night. We're going to have at least two, hopefully even three, local girls in the finals, all going for gold medals as well. Tickets available from the venue or from Everton Park Sports Centre, or simply by calling 0151 233 6336. Now, I think that's kind of brought us to the end of round two, but coming up in round three, we're going to have a chat with George Schofield, Tony's chain, and we're going to get stuck into this Giada Jetovic problem. George, as well, is now Liverpool's proudest and happiest new granddad, isn't he, Tom?
Yeah. I'd like to say congratulations to George Schofield. He's finally joined the OAP's club, And he's a granddad for the first time. His daughter Jenny's just had a son named Dylan. So congratulations to George and Jenny.
Great stuff. We'll hear from George in coming up in round three. You're listening to Nick Pete. This is Fight Night on City Talk 105.9.
City Sport Fight Night. City Talk 105.9.
City.
Every Friday at 12, our financial expert Ian Haworth from Parker Kelly Financial Services will be live in the studio to answer all your financial questions. So if you need advice on anything from mortgages and pensions to credit card debt, give our expert a call on 0151 708 1059 or email us surgery@citytalk.fm. For free expert advice, listen to the City Surgery. Weekdays at 12. We're here to help.
City Talk 105.9. City at the cinema. City Talk 105.9.
Mulder and Scully reappear this week in The X-Files, I Want to Believe.
I see a face. I see eyes staring out. Who is it?
Following the disappearance of an FBI agent, the duo are drafted back into service to help with the search.
This is my fault.
But what do you mean it's your fault?
For getting you involved in this.
It was the right thing to do, Scully.
This is not about finding an FBI agent. This is about you trying to save your sister.
David Duchovny returns as Mulder and explains why the show will continue to enthrall audiences.
To me, the major strength of the show was the fact that it could encompass so many different tones. You know, we did horror, we did mystery, we did funny shows, and the frame of the show could somehow bend and adapt to all those things, and didn't break.
So you believe in these kind of things?
Let's just say I want to believe.
City at the cinema. City Talk 105.9. City Sport Fight Night. City Talk 105.9.
Hi, this is Nick Peter. This is Fight Night on City Talk 105.9. Welcome back to round three. If you miss round one and round two, you've missed Tony Dodson. Tell us all about his trip to Cyprus and his scaring of David Hay again. And you've also missed out on... We just had a good chat there with the girls, Anastasia Cousins and Natasha Jonas, both boxing for England next week, this European Championships. But that's on at Greenbank. Get down there. There's the big queue from there. Now, let's get stuck into George Schofield. We spoke about it last week. Gary Yetovich, you know, he's a world title contender just 5 weeks ago. Then suddenly two defeats and his world starting to unravel a little bit. I caught up with George earlier this week down at Shamrocks to find out just exactly what's been going on. It's been busy time over there. You know, we went over to Russia, everything else, and it just seems to be coming apart. And to make matters worse, George wasn't even with him.
No, I wasn't there that night. His manager, Gus Robinson, had booked me in for... He had a lad called Nigel Wright fighting over in Limerick, over in Ireland there. And with me losing out, me and my wife losing out on my Turkey holiday, because we had to go to Sydney, he booked us 3 days over there prior to the Gaillard getting his fight in Russia. So I was working the corner that night, I had to go over to do his hands and the cuts for Nigel Wright, which was a 10-round fight over there, because the good Irish kid unbeaten. So that's why I wasn't in the corner next, you know, I couldn't be in two places at once, but he took the fight there, Jed.
This was against Dmitry Pirog.
Yeah.
He was an undefeated kid from Russia, from Moscow.
A very, very good lad, yeah. He'd been back in the gym a couple of times since the Sydney, but he could have been in better shape, to be honest with you, but he suffered for his own respect to get back in for the win, really, next. He thought he could take this fella, the Russian lad. He was a class lad, unbeaten, but wasn't too bad. He got beat, and we're out looking for another fight for him now in Europe.
The European title is becoming vacant at middleweight and stuff now, but obviously what's going against Jed in the current situation is, you know, he's just lost two high-profile middleweight fights. So will the opportunities come now, or is it a case of taking them back to the drawing board?
No, well, obviously everything's back to the drawing board after two defeats. But what it is, though, Nick, really, is people were avoiding Jed, say, Gaillard. And these two defeats, believe it or not, might have done him a little bit of a favour, because he's going to get more work now. You know what I mean? Fellas are going to be prepared to take him on, but he is going to upset someone, and he is. You know, like one of these top fellas are going to take him on. And as long as he's still in the gym, he's over in Serbia at the moment. on holiday. But once he's back and he's back in his gym, the opportunity comes up. We'll take it. And but these tough fellas will have him now because they've seen his two performances. But I'm still saying he'll upset one of these fellas.
The domestic scene currently at the middleweight anyway is wide open. There seems to be half a dozen lads who've got various titles domestically, but these same half dozen lads from Britain, I'm talking about now, you're talking about British Commonwealth champions, English champions, all avoided Guillard like the plague. What you're saying now is there could be an opportunity there.
Yeah, there could be an opportunity on the domestic scene, someone to take him on. But we're looking at, his manager is, of course, looking at fellas from abroad now, Europe and the States, who's looking for an opponent, you know what I mean? But I look at Jed Moore and an opponent, obviously. But with these two defeats, that's what these people is looking after, these soft fights, are looking for someone who can take someone the distance without giving them too many problems. But hopefully, one of them will take them on, and he'll upset them.
Is there anything we can, you put your finger on at the moment, where Guillard's come up short in these last two fights? Maybe the last one's a bit harsh because I say he wasn't in the gym too much, but going back to the Daniel Gill fight, because anybody that watches Guillard in the gym training or working out, straight away, world class, the kid's got it, he's got it in the tank.
I said last time, Nick, if you remember when I come back from Sydney, I thought I'd found a formula, mate. And the magic formula, which is everyone's been searching for with Guillard. And I thought I'd found it. And when we went over to Sydney, he went back to his old self with his hands held high, hard to it. And just throwing little short combinations, which is not enough. Doesn't throw any jabs, which we're working on. But it's like a mental blockage with him somehow when he gets in there. I was speaking to him after the Sydney one, and he said, I was trying to run out of steam, but it was ridiculous because he was in top shape. Mm. You could see that after the 12 rounds over there with Gail, he was able to talk on a microphone, everyone's seen on the television without any problems. And just like a little metal blockers, I think, with him. Mm. But if we can get over that, we've got a great fighter on our hands.
And just coming back to the gym, it's a pretty quiet day in here today in Shamrock's. First time I've actually come in early. It's been quite quiet. Are all the lads off at the moment? Anyone back in?
We've only got two back in at the moment. They're all on holiday. We've got Stevie Williams is back in. I'm just waiting for him to come in. But he's only having a four-rounder his next fight.
Any date for that set yet? Or?
Well, believe it or not, Nick, he could be fighting in Canada on the 30th of August. Some relation of his come home a few weeks ago. He does promotions over in Canada, but not boxing promotions. Anyway, he's sort of a fight out for Stevie over there, believe it or not, on the 30th of August. But there's a lot to it, so put it to his manager now, Tommy Gilmore, who's just come back off a cruise yesterday. So it's in their hands now, the battling between the two of them now, what the pay is going to be and what the expenses, because obviously it's a long way. Me and Stevie's got to go over there. But it's only apparently a four round and mixed in with amateur fights over there. So hopefully it comes off for a bit of experience for him. And we've got Tony Dodson back in. He's fighting on the 26th September. I'm away then, unfortunately, again, Turkey. But Jimmy Nair will be looking after him in the corner. I'll be training him up for the fight.
That's the Haymaker show, is it, in Sheffield?
Haymaker, first one for them. He'll be topping the bill on the Haymaker, apparently, in Sheffield. And Tony will be doing an eight-rounder.
Getting stuck in there, so obviously he's talking about your fight as well, George. But let's just go back to Guillard. What's going on? You'd know him better as much as anybody else. You've sparred countless rounds with this kid. He's got all the ability in the world. What is wrong?
I don't know. I think it's something that everybody in the gym is astounded with. I mean, I trained with him right up to the Gale fight. I was probably one of the only kids that wanted to spar with him. It was painful. And, we're doing it every day to help him because he's a good friend. But when I come away from the ring and I'm saying to people, say to me, what's he like? And honest to God, I'm not telling lies. This guy is one of the most talented kids I've ever shared the ring with. The way he lets his shots go, the pinpoint accuracy, but he just doesn't seem to be doing it in the ring. And, you know, I hope he's listening to it, and I hope he's listening to everything I'm saying, because I really want the kid to do well, because he's such a nice lad. He's got the talent is scary. Honest to God, it's frightening. I can't even put it into words how good he is. But he's just not doing it in the ring. It seems to me like if you don't hate Jed, he thinks he's winning the fight. Because his defence is impeccable. It's hard to hit him. And he thinks because he's getting all these shots on the gloves and only a few are getting through and you're not hating him, that he can just do his own thing, do it in his own gear and win the rounds. But judges don't see it like that. It's obviously whoever's throwing the more shots, doing the more work, is going to get the rounds. And I think that's what's happening. If you don't hate Jed, he thinks he's going
to
win a fight.
Yeah, but I went down to Shamrocks this week. We just did the tape there. I spoke to George, and after that interview, he said, sit there, I'm going to put the fight on for you. And he put the P-Leg fight on for me. And what I seen was, it wasn't Gijad Ijetovic. It wasn't Gijad I see in sparring whenever I drop into the gym. It was some
shadow. Have you ever seen him spar with me?
Yeah, I've seen him spar with you, yeah. He's amazing. You should be getting paid for it, because the man's got so much ability.
Exactly.
But what... The way he spars isn't the way he fights. The way he fights is defensive, on the back foot, up against the rope, not throwing any shots. It's, you know, protecting himself rather than going
and
for it.
You know, and another thing is, like, you know, I have this argument with Jed all the time. I think he'd make light middleweight, but he swears to me that he feels too weak at the weight. And one of the first things that come to my mind when I put that tape on and I seen the tape of him fighting the kid last week was how much bigger the lad looked than him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that he needs to address. If he... You know, if he lives the right life and gets a conditioner and does it the right way, he can make light middleweight. There's no way a guy of his frame can't. And I've had this argument with him loads of times, but he swears that he feels too weak. So, you know, he knows himself. But maybe now that his back's against the wall a little bit, he should address that a little bit more and see if he can make it comfortably with the right diet and the right people around him. Because I think that'll be a big factor. I think it'll improve leaps and bounds, and it'll be good for him if he does it. But second of all, When we spar, I mean, I am 6'2". I'm a big super middleweight. I'm a strong super middleweight. It's one of my biggest assets is my strength. Now, when we spar, he pushes me around.
Mm.
Yeah, that kid dealt with him so easy last week.
Yeah, he bullied him.
It really, really baffles me. Honest to God, it's just one of them great unsolved mysteries, I think, that we're never going to get to the bottom to.
When I've seen him spar with yourself and other lads out the gym, he puts up such a strong performance that to see him box like that against that Russian, when I seen it on the tape, I felt sick. I felt sick because it just looked like he was there. I'll be honest, he looked like he was there for the payday. He looked like he was there for the opponents. And is that what he wants to be? Is that what he wants to do? Travel around the world, being an opponent for these young upstart middleweights?
No. If he does, I'll be sickened. I'll be sickened because of what a wasted talent. I don't want him to be one of them people from Liverpool that could have been. Do you know, we see so many talents in Liverpool that could have been, so many, not just in boxing, in every sport, like Billy Kenny and all of them sort of, the footballers in the boxes. It just seems to be the Liverpool thing, fighters that could have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I hope he doesn't go down that road, you know. I hope he's sitting there listening to this and he thinks, right, let's make a go of it, show everyone what I can do. Because even when he knocked out Joey Vegas, who's ranked in the top 10 of my weight, you know, he poleaxed him. Absolutely sensational knockout. And he dealt with him so easy. So, you know, let's get back in the gym, Jed. Let's work on the things that you're good at, and let's try and get through this little metal block thing.
Well, hopefully this defeat is going to be the one that really triggers him and moves him forward. But I know we all want the best for Gijad Ijetovic, and hopefully, if nothing else, it'll open a few doors for him, and maybe he'll get the title shots domestically.
See, you know, this is what
everybody else has been avoiding him domestically, so maybe them fights will come now.
You're right, and that was a perfect opportunity for him to jump on losing for the world title, to beat an unbeaten kid that fancies himself a little bit. Everyone's raving about him knockout, because he would have... I'm not being funny, right? I'd have beat that kid 10 times out of 10 that he boxed the other night.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says to me. I'd have probably knocked that kid out. And Jed is far better than what we've seen, and that's what really... really annoys me. Jake could have dealt with him.
Yeah, let's quickly talk about Mark Moran anyway. He's got this title fight. Let's get it in there quick. He's defending his English super bantamweight title. It's going to happen the end of September, start of October was announced this week. But he's got a tough opponent on. He's got Ishan Pickering, former British Commonwealth European champion.
No. It's only going to be tough if Mark makes it tough. Ishan Pickering is on the back burner, mate. Let's get it right. He's former, that's what he is. He's a former champion that's getting on now. No disrespect to him. What a great fighter, talented. skillful. He will make the fight difficult, but I think Mark will be far too fresh for him and will look really, really, you know, exceptional. I think Mark's the type of fighter that the better the opponent he fights, the better he looks.
But isn't it a little bit like last chance saloon for Pickering though as well? Isn't it dangerous when a man's back against the wall and his career's on the line?
It really is. I mean, I've been in that position, you know, many a time, so yeah, it is. But I don't know, I've seen his last fight, and going from what I've seen in his last fight, I don't know, maybe he's just gone well too many times.
Well, fingers crossed anyway, Mark can pull that one out of the bag. It's a tough first defence, I've got to say, but anyway, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for on the show. First, thanks to Tony Dodds.